Jinx is
fine.
That's a little Scottish joke.
With good old YouTube.
Anus!
So, I don't know what's going on.
Anus came down. Or
might have just been a problem with them.
I haven't gotten a notify.
We played golf.
Yes, we're on.
Okay, here we go. I have three. Okay, ready?
Right.
Are we ready?
Yay!
Live from the sixth floor basement of the Guys Games and Beer Tower. Oh, we just can't get our crap together today. Yeah. That's Guys Games and Beer.
Yay!
That's what happens when we try and do something fancy. Right?
I know we were trying to get fancy tonight. Well, because we're going to do something very interesting
tonight.
Yep.
So.
Old school.
That's the mood I'm in.
All right. So, where we left off was, and I think we should get back to it because. That can is still empty over there, Rob. No, wait.
Bottom.
Oh. Bottom.
Yeah, we're going downhill.
All right. So,
it's Halloween, right?
No, it's not Halloween.
Is it April Fool's?
Wait. No, not quite there yet. We're getting there. All right. What do we got tonight, Jacob?
Well, I'm going to have you pronounce the beer brewing company because I can't figure out how to pronounce that.
Catawba.
Catawba.
Chumbawamba?
Catawba.
Catawba.
We have their White Zombie White Ale. And as they call it, we named this beer as a Halloween seasonal brew.
Oh, evidently it was.
But it is a refreshing taste for all year round.
Okay.
Zombie is made according to a Belgian white beer tradition using unmalted wheat to create a light body and white sheen. Additional coriander and orange peel gives Zombie a fruity and spicy character.
It's a Belgian.
It's a Belgian vibe. Thanks. All right.
While the hops are subtle and lightly detected, don't be afraid to blow off the head and drink down this Zombie. Their tasting notes say, brewed according to a Belgian white tradition, using unmalted wheat to create light body and white sheen.
Don't they all?
Coriander and orange peel added for a fruit but spicy taste, where the hops are subtle and lightly detected.
They are lightly detectable. I'm going to give them that. They're right.
Which I'm a person that does not like my hoppy beer, so therefore...
Nope. It smells like...
But you can pick up the hops in it.
You know what it smells a lot like?
Fresh.
Remember Kmart bathrooms? Back when they cleaned them. Back when they cleaned them.
They cleaned them?
Cleaned them. Back when they cleaned them.
Back when they were a thing.
Rob, you're now making me think
of them. Yeah, once they had pride. I mean, and they're not even existing anymore, but at one point,
you got to do two backwards. Back when they existed, and they cleaned their bathroom.
Double back.
I'm just trying to remember when they last took pride in themselves, if they ever took pride in themselves, or if they ever cleaned their bathroom.
You know, so.
Totally used to happen. And it used to smell like this.
Nope, it's very different for a white, for a Belgian white.
I want to actually
this
see.
This is a subtle beer.
Yeah, you know what? Give me one too, please.
This is a very subtle beer.
I was expecting to hate this.
I was too, but subtle in a good way.
It is
a subtle beer where I am finding that I'm going,
I know.
It comes on, but it's not
I'm
strong.
Not getting too much of that citrusy crap, and I'm not getting too much of the coriander. I'm picking up the hops more than I'm picking up anything.
I hate Belgian whites, but I like
them. I'm not a big fan.
I'm not seeing the white sheen that.
Oh, no. I mean, look at that. It's got the white sheen.
Okay. Mine's a bit more clear.
Does it have the Martin sheen, too?
Oh, dude, yours is. What the fuck?
It has a Charlie sheen, doesn't it?
Why does yours look like an amber?
Where's the crack?
Okay, there's a consistency issue, dude.
Yeah.
Wait, no. You gotta look at this. So I'm gonna put this up to the camera because this is interesting. This is a consistency issue.
Maybe it's because it looks
No,
glass.
That does not make a difference like that. This is these are two cans from the
different?
I don't know, I'm gonna try that in a minute.
Oh.
These are two cans.
Bang your head into the can.
Yeah. From the same six pack. One of them looks like an amber, one looks like a vice.
I mean, they don't even look like they're the same damn beer. If you put,
well,
if
try,
you,
should if I you tell put, him that there's probably a difference in the cleaning between those two glasses?
No.
I'm where'd gonna, you get those cups from, buddy?
He took the cups out.
I wait, did you get the ones that aren't even cleaned yet? Oh!
Yeah, the ones that
aren't. I made that mistake. So later.
The ones that were in the shelves? Yeah, those.
I'm going to
clean those.
The glass looks fine. I don't think the glass made that much of a difference. I mean, this we're talking.
Well, there are some that we cleaned this Christmas, and there's some we cleaned like two Christmases ago.
Jesus Christ.
So, here's the thing. I don't get a ton of that orange they're talking about.
A little, if you
smell it. Yeah,
orange. I taste the orange.
Here's the way I look at it.
I don't have any problem tasting it.
That the orange like for me?
Skittle type flavor of orange or something like that. But just a clean. Citrusy sort of. So if this,
it's not a sweet orange.
Actually, I kind of get this feel of refreshing.
I gotta say, I'm
you know,
I'm pleasantly surprised.
The orange for me, I taste more subtly than the hops.
Yeah, I don't. I'm kind of shocked that it was good. To be honest, I was ready to tear into it after I smelled it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it doesn't smell good.
No, I told you.
But that could be the can. Good.
You used to like
it actually smells a bit better out of the glass.
It does.
So
it does.
You know, they had the air
probably is the can.
That's what I'm saying. Back when they cared.
Yeah.
But no, it tastes really good.
It's not bad. You know, I like the fact
I
you
smell
can,
more.
You
the
do get a hoppy taste with it. It's not like a lot of Belgian.
It's not
really no hop.
It's not a horrendous.
No,
hop,
but you can taste not, the hops.
Yeah.
There's not an overpowering anything in it.
No,
I mean,
no.
That's the nice
thing,
part of
the
it.
Thing
yeah,
that,
it's kind of like a.
There's a lot of those flavors there, but none
the
of
thing
them are
that I,
punching you in the face.
The thing that I feel is with this, they're saying a very subtle, hop note. Noticeable, but very subtle. And I'm going, if you're going to say that there's orange peel and coriander with a very subtle hop note, I would feel like your orange peel and coriander.
Yep.
Coriander.
Would be more noticeable than the hop. Because I get the hop first, and then I get a very, very subtle orange.
Yeah,
you know,
I would expect it to be the opposite way that they're.
I'm not going to abuse it for not actually, man, because that's marketing people that
collect
that crap.
Yeah.
I will say, it's kind of hard to do a beer like this and have it actually like taste like something where this does.
Oh.
It has nuance.
And Dowdy says the glasses are clean.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
But they grab these from the box.
Yeah.
Are those the clean ones?
Yeah.
You mean the ones that used to be the globe?
No, they're clean as well.
You just got from eBay.
They are clean as well. Okay.
Yeah,
all
what
right.
definition of clean are we talking about?
Okay,
all right, so.
All
right.
We both did that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, you know, again, it's definitely a Belgian Weiss, but I kind of like it. It's got a little more hop punch than a normal one does. They didn't kill it with too much spiciness. It's got, you know, it's exactly what the label described. A subtle beer. What's the APV on this?
7.
Ooh. Oh, it's up there. Okay. Yeah. You don't get that from it. I don't get that
no.
in the taste.
I was expecting it to be more like a 5.
Yeah, it's a fairly light drinking
maybe
beer.
Maybe even a 4.
But a 7's got a little kick to it.
You can get yourself a good day drunk on this.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
this
thinking
is
that.
Funny.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah, it isn't so heavy that you're passed out by noon.
Yeah.
But it's not so light that you're going on into the night to feel bloated.
True.
You're right in there. You're heavy hitting it.
Yeah.
So, a little inside baseball. You know, Travis came back up to the north side here. And, you know, Ben sent a beer with, and we're going to wait on that beer.
Did he send that?
But this one, but I think we picked this up when we were down there.
We did.
We never got around it.
No.
This is also a down south beer.
Yeah.
We picked this up the last time we were down there.
Yeah. So their breweries are in Asheville and Charleston.
Yep. Catawba. Is it Catawba?
Catawba.
Catawba? No, it seems more Catawba.
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 Whatever. It's not Catawba.
Fine. Again, it's a good beer. It's
so, who's ordering it at the bar?
I'm ordering it at the bar.
Yeah.
Nah. I think I would too.
You wouldn't.
Not going to order it at a bar. We'll grab it out of the party cooler.
So, yeah, that. Yeah.
Party cooler?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Party cooler? Oh, definitely on the party cooler, yeah. Too. So, yeah, no, I would order this out. It's a 7, so it's a little bit more powerful. You know, I mean, it's not, it's, again, it's got a nice little kick to
it. So, you know, order a couple and order the Uber.
Exactly. But, good.
Agreed.
It's a good beer. All right, let's do this.
Yeah.
Okay, easy. All solid. Thumbs up on this one.
Yeah, easy. Solid.
Easy. That was an easy one.
Yeah. And this is not my kind of beer.
I'm at least the 3/4.
Belgian lights are not
quite
my kind of beer.
So, I was, when the description was coming down, I was a little worried.
Me
then
too.
I sniffed it.
As soon as he said origin.
Then I sniffed it, I'm like, oh,
yeah, I'm like, so you're average.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
But no, actually, would not be ashamed to drink this in public.
No.
I wouldn't be ashamed to drink it in public.
In public.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be ashamed to drink in public. It's just not something I would, or I would, you know, order.
No.
I'd grab it out of the cooler and be perfectly fine with drinking that.
I wouldn't
but
be ashamed to drink it in pubic.
All right, Judge Rob.
I don't know what that says, because this group is not ashamed of a lot of things in public. So I'm not really sure.
And prove it every chance we get. Judge Rob, pass verdict on this beer.
Yeah, on the charge of making me happy. And since you too,
drinking.
Good old pun.
Funny.
Thank you.
All right, Rob, why are you really here tonight?
Besides, so Rob, would you say we went for the head on this one?
Yes, we did.
I always go for the head. So, what are we actually here to talk about tonight, Rob?
We're gonna be talking about old computer here. We're gonna do a lot of chat. I think.
Yeah, I think we will.
We'll do a lot of Q&A on this.
But, yeah, so about 3 weeks ago, the group got the opportunity to pick up a really pristine old computer. So this is a vintage 1982 K-Pro 2.
What do you say let's move this over so the camera can catch it. What if we turn this table
a little
bit?
That's an excellent idea.
We were going to use a dual camera setup, but that...
We had some issues.
That dropped a bomb down the...
That
dropped a bomb down the system. All
right, how's that look, Rob? Oh, that looks good.
That looks pretty good, yeah.
All right. So
go ahead. Hey, this is you.
No.
I want to ask you questions about it. All right.
Well, so vintage 1982. So this is pre-laptop days for all of those of you who don't remember them. We unfortunately do remember them. So they made a series of computers called Luggables. Now, Luggable just meant you could take it with you when you went places. Traveling with it, probably not. They vary in weight. This one weighs about 30 pounds. It's,
you know, for the businessman on the go.
Yeah, exactly. For the businessman on the go. My first Luggable that I purchased was an Osborne. But I did also have the SX-64, which was a Luggable. And we may do a show on that someday.
That's sexy, too.
Is this one, or were many of the Luggables... operating systems?
No. They were almost all CPM. Okay. So, if you remember, later years, Commodore actually made a CPM-compatible computer. Because for businesses...
The 128.
Exactly.
Actually, it was half CPM.
Had a CPM process in it. Businesses did almost all their software on CPM in the 80s. That was kind of the programming language.
It was not an IBM.
It was not MS-DOS. Based system. It's a CPM-based system. So the original... I'm sorry.
No, I was going to talk. I was going to start asking you questions, but if you're still going, go.
So this is not the first Luggable computer. Osborne actually came out with the first one. Again, I owned an Osborne.
Ozzy.
Yeah, the Osborne was a really nice-looking machine. They did a great job on it.
I was sad about him today.
But it had a 5-inch monitor in it, so it had a tiny... Results. And this was not a color monitor. This was a 5-inch... black and white, either amber or green screen, depending on which version of the Osborne you had.
Which one is this?
What screen?
Yeah.
It's a green screen. But here's the thing about the K-Pro, which came out in 1982. After the Osborne came out first. The K-Pro did it right. They actually put a bigger monitor in it. They went with a 9-inch green screen. Cool. So, and that was a big difference. So K-Pro was it's an interesting story how this all got started. So there's a company called Nonlinear Systems who made test instruments for years. And I can't think of the guy's first name, but his last name is K. He was the first guy, he invented the digital multimeter. Nonlinear Systems being the first company to sell it. And then in the 80s, they got into computers and came up with the K-Pro. The K-Pro actually, for a while there, K-Pro, the company, which split off from Nonlinear Systems, was the fifth largest computer company in the world. Mm-hmm. They were shipping 10,000 units a month of these. So this is not a rarity. This one's in particularly good shape. But they're not terribly rare.
What's the lookups in the back?
We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Love the color.
But Nonlinear Systems was an industrial company. So where the Osborne was this plastic thing, looked a lot like a portable sewing machine. This company was an industrial company, and they produced industrial products. So they made this a very industrial looking. This is a classic 80s blue for electronics equipment. Same with the gray here. It's an all steel case, which was very common for test equipment in the 80s. So this looks like a piece of 80s test equipment, but that's because this is what the company was already manufacturing at that time.
How much did this cost at that time?
At that time, this thing was about $1,700 U.S. Now,
for those that are wondering now, that is exactly $4,544.57 money today.
Christ. Right. But whereas that sounded like a lot, and one of their commercials actually bought this up. If you bought this particular computer, it came complete. It has the floppy drives built in. It's got the monitor built in. It's the computer, keyboard. Mm-hmm. Back then, we didn't have mice, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It also came with all the business software. Came with the word processor. Came with the spreadsheet. Came with the database. So you got all the software with it. And that was a big selling point. For this $1,700, you got a complete business system. These systems were not being sold for people to do home computing with. Remember, this was 82, so the Commodore 64 had just come out as well.
This was geared towards people who actually needed and could afford it.
Right. It was a business computer. This was something if I owned a small business, a real estate agency, an accounting agency, something like that, this was the perfect setup for it.
No, like I said, probably somebody who planned on traveling.
Right,
yeah.
Or even wanted to work on the weekend at home. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was funny, Matt's mom used to haul one of these back and forth to the office back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So
Eric's mom, if you remember, she used to have one too.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
She used to play the Space Invaders game.
What about Stacy's mom?
I don't know about Stacy's mom, but she's got it going on. So this one actually came from a Milwaukee company called Alice Chalmers. And I'm going to leave this tag on it because it actually has the executive's name on it with all the information from Alice Chalmers out of Milwaukee.
Feel free to visit
I did not put that longer for anybody could see it. But yes, so it's actually got all the... I'm going to leave that tag on it.
And what number's on it?
8675309.
So you could get them with a built-in modem. This particular one does not have the built-in modem. Oh, actually, this one does have the built-in modem on it. So you could get them right. That's the modem port there. Keyboard port here, which is the same.
Is that the modem port?
Yeah, this one's got a modem
because
port on
the
it.
Keyboard's
over
connection.
Here. Yeah, keyboard port's over here. It's labeled
because
keyboard.
It's using the same style.
Correct.
Connector.
That phone connector. Yes. It also came with serial ports and printer ports. It was enough to basically start your business. It did not come with a printer. You had to buy a printer separately.
Well, those are serial now. So the one with the clips, probably the parallel.
This one here? Yeah, that's an old school Centronics printer port.
Right.
This style port was called Centronics.
That was around until... You probably would still see them on machines
even
late
in the 90s. In the 90s.
Late 90s still.
Yeah, Centronics was still around in that.
Two printer ports?
It has
serial and...
Right.
Probably somebody's going to say, in my office, I've got one that's
sure
adapted to USB.
I had a Pentium with that on there. Sure.
No, here's the reason why you would have to. If I use this with a plotter, plotters were serial, even though they're considered a printer. So that's why you had this second serial printer port. And there were serial printers. If I had like a daisy wheel printer, that was one that actually had like a wheel or a ball, that would also usually use the serial versus the Centronics. All right, we're going to open this baby up. So you can see the construction's pretty darn robust on these things. Again, it was really meant to stand.
You can kill someone with it.
Stand underneath.
You like that? Yeah. So it nice construction on this.
Oh, look at that.
Now that's a keyboard, okay? So it
the kids would kill for this thing, you know.
Full travel.
I thought that was just that. I mean,
nice. Yep.
Oh, when you pulled that, that was like that. I thought that was just a cover.
No, that's your keyboard. Mm-hmm. All right, so
that is even more impressive.
Yeah, the design on this is quite nice. Now, they did a really good job. It's got a built-in flip-up stand that you flip up like this. The keyboard, it's basically a phone cable, like they used on the handset for a phone. For those of you who don't remember, they actually used to be wired phones.
There you go. And back then, by the way, your tables were much bigger. Actually, this table's probably...
Yeah, everything was
I think we got this when we were married, so it's like 1992 or something.
Since you're doing math on the show, so it's 2000, how old is this?
He's not paying attention.
I'm looking at the chat.
Okay.
So now here's the advantage.
We said, could you look at the chat, Jacob? And then he looks at the chat. We give him crap for it. That's heartbreaking. I'm not going to stop doing it.
Right, but I'll
point out that at least expense.
Again, I noticed no one was on the chat, and I went, "Oh, someone should probably be on the chat because."
Not very much. The last comment has been criticizing Rob's gavel.
Right there. It's still right here.
He also did comment that he would like to know what the metric of beer. We need to find out the metrics of beer that are getting a passing ruling in this place.
Excuse me? What is he, the Bar Association?
That's a Ryan.
Talk to Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan has a database of this.
Ryan, that's a Ryan thing. Yeah. He's down
also,
today.
Cassandra
he's down.
Would like to note that Sipless. This is a very laid-back Sipless. Night tonight.
It is a very laid-back night. I'm good with it. All right. So, here's the thing. So
38 years.
So it's a 38-year-old computer. So the Osborne had the floppy drives off to one side and the other, and then had the small 5-inch monitor in the middle. Where K-Pro...
Yes, Cassandra, it is a
kind of
keyboard.
Kind of ate their lunch was, they put this big old 9-inch green screen on here. And I'll tell you, that makes all the difference in the world. If you're sitting down doing word processing or business, compare this to a 5-inch monitor. And if you've ever seen the Osborne... It was a tiny...
The Conger had the small one, too, right?
Yeah, but their monitor's actually good compared to the Osborne.
Yeah,
okay. I was expecting that monitor to be smaller.
No, that's a 9-inch.
That's a reasonable... That's reasonable.
It's why K-Pro did so very well. Like I said, fifth largest computer company in the world for a while there. So,
the Conger had a color in it, didn't it?
Correct.
But
five-inch color. Right.
So it's like...
A little bit of 9-inch color, that would have been epic.
Too small to work with, in all honesty. Again, if you're doing business, it's really hard to work on a very small monitor.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't like... This thing was, 80 characters across the screen,
correct.
Right? And the Commodore was like 24.
No, that's another very good point.
Or 40.
The Osborne was a 40-character monitor. This is an 80-character monitor.
Right.
And that, if you're doing...
Big deal for...
If you're doing business...
What's that? 80-character
still
a standard. I noticed you mentioned earlier, that sounds expensive, but you still have to buy a separate
everything.
Disk drive.
Yeah.
This had two in it.
Correct. It came with two for that price.
Deluxe.
So if you bought like a Commodore, you would buy $500 for the system.
$600 when it first came out.
$600
a piece.
For one.
Right.
Floppy.
So you're up to $1,800.
If you
bought
without
a monitor. Without a monitor.
You don't have a monitor. So you're already surpassed.
Right.
So let's talk guts.
Let's talk guts.
So it's got a Z80 in it.
Correct.
CPM Z80.
So classic Z80 idea.
How much RAM?
Somebody look that up quick, because I've forgotten K-Pro 2 RAM. I want to say it was,
I bet it was 32.
I think it is 32K. K, not megs.
Not megs.
32K.
Not gigs.
I'm pretty sure it's 32K, but I have forgotten.
64K.
Oh, okay, that's nice. Huge.
So for a system of that time, that's really good memory.
No, the Z80 hooked up to it, that's pretty good.
Yeah, the Z80 and CPM were really memory-efficient programming for for programming. So yeah, they had a lot less overhead. Now, even less overhead on this one because there's no special characters. The graphics are all ASCII only.
So I noticed that about the games. I was like, oh, yeah, this is
your which version of ASCII?
Yeah, well, there are...
Petsky! No!
Much a standard ASCII, so you're never using any odd characters. So that saves you a ton of memory. It's when you start having to do bitmap graphics or bobs or sprites that you start using up that memory. Not the case with
this. I noticed it's got about, what did I see, 2 function keys, 3 function keys?
No, I think it's only got... No, this doesn't have any function keys.
Wow. What's the extra ones? There was
control.
There was a couple extra...
Line feed.
It's all function.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just...
Now it's all very standard.
Every key is functional.
It's a really standard old
There's
school keyboard.
There's no function keys.
Right. It's a really standard system. Okay, we're going to fire this old beast up. So, before I do that, so I got this, and the guy had nothing with it. It was just the unit. So I worked on getting it. I fired up the first night
and
I got
cried
it.
Cried when he sold it to you.
No, the guy was really a very good guy. He was, I got out of Milwaukee. Some guy collected like old radios and so on, so it was kind of cool. But he had no software with it. And needless to say, getting software with this thing is kind of difficult. I literally spent 2 days building a computer to make software for this thing. Well, I had to get an older computer that would run like Windows 98 or XP.
Oh, you're 128. Is the disk format different?
I do believe the disk format's different.
Although, I could have swore I was able to run.
I actually have Zork for this.
I don't know what Zork is.
You will find out shortly.
Oh, my God.
You will find out
shortly. You missed out.
You have missed out, actually.
You can play it online, by the way.
You've missed out. Zork's amazing. In fact, he was at not too long ago.
What?
He was at Game Hole.
Was he? Yeah, was he at Game Hole?
He was at Game Hole.
And we didn't run into him either.
No, I tried to run into him. I couldn't find him. I think Jacob actually went out and looked for him.
I dressed nice, too.
For what?
The guy, I actually, to get Scott Adams to see if he'd come on the show, and you couldn't find him.
MGC?
Yeah, at MGC.
Yeah.
Not at MGC, at
Game Hole.
Game Hole.
Game Hole? No, couldn't find him.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to fire this baby up.
You asked me to go find a lot of people at various different cons.
So here we go. So, K-Pro, place your disc into drive A. So,
wait, are there 2 drives?
There are 2 drives on this one. So Larry brought that point up. Not only did you get the monitor, but you got 2 floppy drives with it. And again, at that point, floppy drives were $600 a pop. Mm-hmm. Whether that was for the Apple or for the Commodore 64, you were paying a lot of money for that kind of stuff. So, The constantly lit light there means that is the active drive right now. It's not an access drive. It just means it means it's the active drive. So we're going to go ahead and put that in. Now, I love this. So for those of you who remember old 5 1/4 just most of them had these like flip levers on it.
Yeah.
They had these really cool push buttons on these that open and close it.
That is actually sexy as hell.
And look how fast that
CPU
came.
I wish you could see it.
I was expecting you to push it and it popped.
But it actually kind of just, it floats in and comes out just a little, it's beautiful.
I know. Didn't they do a really nice job on that?
That's very classy hardware.
Right? Now, I do know that some of the K-Pros did have the drives that flipped down. But this particular one has these, and I really like these drives. And both of them work, which makes me exceptionally happy.
I remember like grade school or whatnot, that we'd insert the floppy
and flip the lever down. Yeah,
flip the lever down, and that the teachers would yell at you all the time.
Oh, if you went too hard on that thing.
Oh no, that if it was like, with some of them going like getting real old and whatnot. it would work without you flipping it down, and the teacher would be like, "You gotta flip it down."
They are right because it moves the head when you do that. Okay, so if you guys remember your old commands, it's DIR to get a directory of what's on the disk. The speed is really quite impressive.
It's still dir today.
What's that?
During commands.
It is. Yeah. So this is the initial system disk that I generated up for it. It's got quite a bit of stuff on it.
Hey, I'm going to... I'm trying to figure out whether we should move this a little bit to
Okay, hold on. We're going to...
Just so they can see a little bit.
Yeah,
better.
Excuse me. All right.
You're all right, Tom.
I'm not in the way?
No. Okay, you're all right. Just stay off a little bit. I just wanted to be able to see.
The screen is gorgeous on this thing.
I'm very impressed. You usually don't see machines this old that have a screen that's clear.
Look how clear that is.
Yeah,
I'm
learning. I'll be darned.
I know. You guys can come around and take a look at it. I mean, I'll let me step out of the way.
You're teaching me right now what is going on.
It's so funny. So that green screen. So at work, I often interact with the Unix system. And
so green screen.
Whatever you want, really. No,
I'm using a program to simulate a terminal, right? So you can set it to anything you want. So I set it to
classic black with a green screen.
Yeah, classic black with a green screen. Now I had for a minute. Like a Nemesis, and he set his to red and black.
Sometimes I just set it on dark blue. On
so
just
I feel like you can get feel like the good old days.
Yeah, you certainly can. So again, the plus side of having two discs. What do I have here? Let's try this. No, not that one. Maybe this one here. Let's see what's on this one. Is you can actually, you can have a system disk in while you're reading other disks. So we'll go ahead and put the other disk in there. And to switch directories, you just, let's see here, B colon, we'll switch me to the B drive. Now see, now the B drive becomes active. And we'll directory this one. Let's see, we have a few games on here.
How do you feel the commands are? Are they closer to DOS or closer to Unix?
Closer to Unix.
That would be my expectation.
Yeah. Definitely closer. So this one's got some old school games on it.
/? Or /?
On this one it is /.
It is equals.
It's been a while.
It's equals tilde.
Yeah.
Equals tilde,
okay.
Board bracket.
So for those of you who don't remember, I'm actually going to run something which was a classic on every computer back then. Eliza.
All right. Man, I remember we went to Milwaukee to visit Eliza. It was on very early on. It was actually on tour.
Really?
Like they had built hardware, right? And it took all this hardware to run Eliza. And they actually brought you to this, like, we were at this tech show. My parents brought me to this tech show. And there was Eliza. And it was the most amazing thing.
So,
and then 5 years later, I had the Commodore 64. And I was able to type in Eliza. And that moment was about, it was way stupider than the one I'd seen. But still, it was very close, you know? That's amazing.
You know,
are you doing it?
I think it's a little.
No, because it's in basic and I'm not going to load basic.
It's a little under.
Oh, wait, these are
appreciated. Like, so, like, you have an Atari, right?
Yep.
And a good lot of original Atari B-drive, still work.
Because you got the ones.
Right? You put a cartridge in, they still work.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you look at this and it's like 38 years old. And so is an Atari. Hmm? Right? So it doesn't feel like impressive, but the thing about it is, and this is what I'm getting at, is there's a lot of difference between a cartridge-driven unit, a machine, to a floppy disk that has a head and a mechanical thing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's probably some gears and some maybe a belt in there somewhere.
The drives were not in bad shape. The biggest problem I had was with the opening and closing mechanism. So those were jammed when I first got them. When I mean jammed, I mean they didn't move at all. So I had to break those free.
It's pretty impressive that the system is functional.
Yeah, and you got to figure. Let's
because. Like
when
said,
you look at it next to the Atari, I mean, the Atari did not have a K of RAM.
Mm. Yeah,
literally, did not have a K of RAM. You are programming directly to that unit.
Yeah.
This thing has an interface.
There
is no Atari interface. Right. You were just talking to screen, basically, on the Atari.
Yeah, I'm just trying to give context of what this is compared to that.
Compared to
the
Atari.
It's so much more powerful, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's just amazingly more powerful. Next to what we got now, I mean, heck, our phones are supercomputers, but
yeah, they really are. No, I mean,
they are. So back then, where if we put that in context, therefore, not only would you have to pay that much extra for a drive, you know, for a traditional computer, but hey, maybe you can just do continuous save to cassette tapes as opposed to the new floppy disk, and it's just
Yeah, well, you know, and then and that's something, yeah, because floppy tapes were still quite popular in 82. Yeah. So, but for business use, again, and remember, this was meant to be a business computer. It's not meant to be a gaming machine. Now, that being said,
you can probably play a hell of a game of Yahtzee.
What business? I've got Yahtzee for it. What business? What businessman doesn't want to play games once in a while? So,
exactly. Yeah, you're sitting there in a freaking hotel room. What are you going to do?
Right. No,
put on your cape, bro, and play that awesome Aliens game.
Wait, Windows had the answer.
We're gonna play Pac-Man.
Ta-da.
Oh, get out of here.
That was all ASCII-based?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, that's what I figured.
Well, that's pretty.
Wait a minute. What did I do here? I may have just goofed it up if I hit the wrong button.
Oh, shit, my pants. If you're able to run Doom on that.
I
will.
Somebody out there.
Why am I hitting?
Is probably done. I mean, it's, you know, it's
a nasty ASCII going on.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, it's not going to look great.
I would almost spend time and money.
So the M's are marked as monsters.
Just to make you go.
You got percentage signs. I mean,
have done it.
But that being said, they did a fairly good job.
Show me those shitty pants.
Yeah.
I mean, considering, and here's the thing, you know, they programmed a little bit of AI into it to get
monsters
to come around.
At least that makes sense.
Is this Pac-Man?
This is Pac-Man. M for monsters.
Yeah, that was a thing.
There's the Pac-Man down there. I thought it was.
It's kind of, you know, the roguelike people have kind of claimed that for themselves, but that wasn't like a roguelike thing back in the day. That was just, that's what you had. I mean, and was monster, you know, very exciting.
Right. Yeah. So, again, considering they were working, and this was not uncommon back in the day, you'd work with ASCII graphics and get them to do all sorts of cool things.
You know what's really impressive about it?
You ever want to see what ASCII could do? A little trip down bulletin boards.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Bulletin boards would do amazing work with ASCII.
There's a lot of young kids now that are, now I sound old there, but they do some amazing, there's some amazing ASCII art going on right now.
Yeah,
the scene is really amazing.
Play it. I was just trying to.
I have no
80s BBS.
Yeah, 80s BBS. Yeah, they play.
I'd go.
No, they just like using the art form. You know,
actually, I gotta show you the dungeon.
Yeah.
Gore
for whatever.
That's a funny
game. Hit the reset button on the back.
Come to your
right.
Yes.
Oh God.
All right.
Yeah, that was fun.
I never heard of that.
You know, we had chat with SysOp.
So you guys want to have some real fun, yeah.
So you'd have the command chat with SysOp, and if the SysOp wasn't there, well, you weren't talking to anybody, because it's SysOp. Now, later BBS is, if you had multiple lines, like Tom had multiple lines later, you could chat with somebody else online, but they usually didn't want to talk to you.
No.
Hey,
just like
we do have Hunt the Wumpus too.
Do you have Wumpus?
I got Hunt the Wumpus.
Nice.
Hunt the Wumpus.
Oh, Hunt.
Although you can do whatever you want
with
Wumpus.
You could hump him if you really want to.
I thought you were saying Hump the Wumpus.
Once you found him.
Wumpus is actually one of the first games I ever programmed.
Yeah, he used to type it in from Run Magazine. God, remember Compute Magazine?
No, I love Compute Magazine, man. I literally, it would come and I would spend my night programming every program in there.
Right? Did you have the clipboard?
That's
the thing that you stand up, you had to think for every line?
Yep.
Yeah, I
you had
that.
No, you that had
was,
to have it or
so
you can
great.
Go on.
That's actually went off. But yeah, my grandpa's old computer, they used to carry like old issues.
So, Jacob, who has led a sheltered life evidently, has never played Zork. So these are the original adventure games when it comes to mega hits. Here, I'm going to let you take over. And I want you to read out what you're doing as you do it, please.
Not just her play.
I can't believe you've never heard of
Zork. In junior high school, I'd have Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and then I'd have Zork on there. Mm-hmm. So needless to say, I was getting my ass kicked pretty much every day.
Okay, so go ahead and read what it says.
But...
Okay.
Damn it, I did it.
Pretty much.
West of house. You are standing in an open field west of a white house with a boarded front door. There is a small mailbox.
I wonder
here.
How much this is demented.
Type what I'm about to
do. You're about to type your instruction. So the interface is really weird because you really kind of had to guess what it wanted you to type.
Yeah, I mean, there were standards. I mean, if you played one... You basically figured it out. Yeah. They got smarter as time went on.
Go to
check mailbox.
All right.
That's probably going to work.
don't know the word Czech.
All right, so try something else.
It's not, they're not Czech.
I think I
Hump mailbox. Try Hump mailbox.
It probably knows everyone.
I thought I was supposed to do look mailbox.
And you can say, like, look at mailbox. It just throws out the
end. That sentence isn't one I recognize.
It's basically easy.
This is not
it's basically
the open full mailbox. Version of Zork,
yes,
I bet.
That was going to be my all next right. one. Open.
What's that? I bet they had to abridge it.
No,
64K. Because I look mailbox, I'm pretty sure it's something you can do. Yeah, but it
opening
might have been...
the small mailbox reveals a leaflet.
Okay.
Well, there's a leaflet.
Try to read the leaflet.
Read.
You may
is
have to get it
is
first.
Your band gonna play? I mean, that's what's on all beat leaflets.
It's Lords of the Trident.
Taken. Welcome to Zork. Zork is a game of adventure, danger, and low cunning.
I love that low cunning.
Low cunning. In it, you will explore some of the most amazing territories ever seen by mortals. No computer should be without one.
That's true.
Immortal.
It was true, actually. Zork and Zork was on pretty much every platform out there.
That was an essential.
Yeah. Yep, yep. So.
Oh, man.
I know.
The hours I spent with this game.
Oh, yeah, God, who didn't?
I just typed in walk to door, and it goes, it's here.
Well, never know.
Oh, yeah, it has some quips, too, by the way.
Yes. And that was part of the cleverness of the programming in this game. So basically, it's an adventure game. You're solving puzzles. It's a puzzle-solving game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think it holds up really well. There's people who still think pretty highly of this, and I do, too.
I do.
It's just... it's kind of fun to mess around with because there's this whole world inside the machine. You know, remember that feeling that there was so much going on in the machine? You just really felt it in
that the machine
computers.
Is doing these
they
amazing
lost
things.
Now because you got the internet
door
out
can't
there,
be opened.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's not a bad thing, by the way. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Don't get me wrong.
But you're right. At the time that this kind of computer stuff was coming out, you're right. You thought, oh my God, look what they're doing here. I mean,
okay, yeah. that is pretty ingenious right there. I just typed in break down door, and it goes, what do you want to break the door with?
Ah,
foot.
My wiener.
Wiener.
I don't understand foot.
All right.
Type dick.
Penis. I don't understand the word penis.
Oh, right.
So, you know what? I wonder if this is an earlier version of Zork.
82.
So
I bet it might have been.
About right.
Door.
I'm kind of curious because they also did update it over time, and I wonder if later versions were a little bit smarter.
I think so. Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
I assume, yeah, it's like, isn't it checking against an array of
and you know,
yeah.
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 And you know, as we get older,
doesn't understand
we
kind of
blur the stuff together.
But you can see where this game is kind of cool in its own
yes.
way.
Like Gauntlet and Gauntlet 2. Mm-hmm. You remember features in Gauntlet being, you know, features in Gauntlet 2 being the original Gauntlet.
So, things like that. Again, you know, here's the...
I'll put full games together wrong.
Yeah, that, I don't even... I couldn't distinguish between the two.
Yeah, not anymore, right?
No.
It's all, at one point... At one point, we
the
would
building
have
apparently has no windows.
Had
okay,
a huge
well,
conversation about the big differences
between
them.
You can't find any windows
them,
here.
But,
well, I guess you're not going in through the window then.
Not anymore.
Right? See, that's some magic right there.
It, you know something? It really is magic.
I have nothing bad to
magic.
Say about the game.
Now,
I still have a lot of fun building this text.
There's a lot of thinking going on.
You can do a question mark to get to what possible command.
I still love typing them in. You know,
okay.
Like,
so if you there's type, a lot of thinking going on, and it's not in the computer.
No, if you type question mark.
Oh.
Question mark.
Oh, by the way, some things you can do. N for north, S for south.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, never mind. I thought you could on this one. No,
you
no.
can do like
what
N for north, right? And S for
yeah,
south.
Yeah, N for north, S for south.
Yeah, later ones
north
you can just
house.
Use your arrow keys too.
You are facing the north side of the White House. There is no door here, and all the windows are boarded up. To the north, there is a narrow path winds through the trees.
All right. Go there! Go north.
So the White House's windows are boarded up.
Good.
North.
So prediction
Forest
for tonight.
A bad house anyway.
Prediction. Tom's going to be sitting there in his bed, and you're going to hear this as he's playing. I want to. It makes me want to play it.
Four is so bad. It's really good right now. I mean, just, and you're right. The sound that.
Forest Path. This is the winding path through a dimly lit forest. The path heads north-south here. One particularly large tree with some low branches stands at the edge of path.
Now look at the tree.
That's what I was about to do.
All right.
Look.
All right, so, quick game.
Three.
Console game systems that use the Z80 processor.
There's nothing special.
Go, Tom. You can do this.
No, I don't.
Fairchild!
No.
You know what? I don't know if that one uses it.
Yeah.
It could. Well, I should have known all the answers to the question. I can answer you, too. ColecoVision is one that uses the Z80.
Does it actually?
Zilog Z80.
Okay.
Processor. And also, the original Sega.
The Master System?
The original
Sega.
The SG-1000.
Not the Master System.
The Master System might have as well. To be honest, they use the same code, so I imagine they probably
don't.
Yeah,
I guess so.
The Z8.
Yeah.
For that reason, that is why...
Was he a Motorola or not?
No, that was Zilog.
It was bought... And then it was like released, so several companies were
actually originally RCA developed the Z80.
Zilog, right? It's called Zilog.
Yeah, Zilog.
There's a door.
Zilog 80.
You can't
named after the Russians.
Boards.
We stole it from Alexandra Zilog. I made that up. That is not an absolute fact. It is called Zilog, but not. I don't.
Not
it could
stolen.
Be that reason, but I wouldn't know.
But
the stolen from Russia.
But the Z80 was very often again mainly used in business game systems. Not very often.
Arcade games used them.
Yeah,
fairly
they
awesome.
Did
yeah.
Here's the thing. If there was a if
it
can push bits, man.
Yeah.
And
the Z80 was actually pretty good. It wasn't a bad processor.
Yeah, try game.
They threw
I mean,
a lot of crap at it.
Yeah,
there's
the Amstrad.
Yeah, you know I forgot about that.
Amstrad used it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
This was sounded earlier as.
Home computers,
ZX's series.
Yeah, I actually the Timex Sinclair.
Yeah,
is a ZX80 based system. So those of you who don't know, I built a lot of computers in my day, and then my first one was an 1802. Our
first one was a Radio Shack.
Actually, my first one was truly one of the Radio Shack ones. But I don't count that because it was a simulated circuit one.
Yeah.
But the first thing I built was a Cosmic Elf. But the first commercial computer I built was a MicroAce, which was the Z80.
I remember those?
Right, which is the California version of the ZX80 out of the UK.
Yeah.
So somebody ripped off the designs like almost immediately.
But you still great saw
American.
Like the ZX80s out here.
I own a ZX81 actually. I'm going to restore one.
Those
days.
Little tiny ones, right?
The white ones, yeah. Before the Timex.
They were
before the Timex.
Yeah, but that's the same machine, isn't it?
Yeah, they're well, mostly
like same processor.
Yes,
except, same brand.
Except the screen on the ZX80s and 81s. Don't refresh. They have to turn the screen off, update, and then turn the screen back on.
I was going to mention that I was kind of surprised on that pack.
Did you do it fast enough, or did you know?
Oh, no. You know it. The screen goes blank, and
that was
then
a problem.
Comes back on.
Well, I was very surprised on the
I have opened the window.
Yes!
Usually what happens on
and
the
And I am now in the kitchen.
I'm
gonna get killed.
And then the ghost moved, and then you moved.
Right, and then the ghost moved.
You didn't really notice it.
Breaking and
moving.
Achievement unlocked. Breaking and entering.
Yay!
Okay, so I'm gonna sneak back in now. But
okay, well,
what do you
let
think?
Me actually read this.
Okay, go ahead and read that.
You are in the kitchen of the White House. A table seems to have been. Used recently for preparation of food. A passage leads to the west, and a dark staircase can be seen leading upwards. A dark chimney leads downwards, and to the east is a small window which is open. On the table is an elongated brown sack smelling of hot peppers.
Woo!
A bottle is sitting
pizza.
On the table. The glass contains a quantity of
water.
There you go. So at this point, you can take items, and you do want to pick up items to solve puzzles further in the game.
In this game, you
How did you get into the what broke it through for you?
I accidentally, I realized I had only gone north and south. It's impossible to keep a train of thought on.
I know. Yeah.
And then I went east. And it went, hey, you know, there's a window here.
Hey, so you got 10 of 350 points in 24 moves. Gives you the rank of beginner.
And so
only because I made him quit.
Yeah. So therefore, I went to, okay, window? And I was like, you need to add a verb to that. Okay, open window? How do you want to open the window? Penis open window?
Carefully?
Hands?
Carefully.
Hands open window?
I typed penis open window, so...
Oh, and that worked! Good!
I believe that Infocom did release all these games to the public domain.
No,
there's several websites where you can actually play them.
Right, so say the name of that company again, because people
Infocom didn't understand the word penis.
It's not Infocom penis, it's Infocom.
Right,
in case you blurred that.
It's just open window, not open window or penis open window.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you want to open the window?
With my penis.
With my penis. Come
on. Wang.
But again, solidly built computer for its time. This one is 38 years old and is still working quite nicely, thank you. Yeah, you know something? There's probably literally maybe, how many games out there? Maybe 100 at most. Now, I shouldn't say that, because if you play CPM, because CPM was a transportable language, it's not machine-dependent. You could play a CPM game on any system. So if I have the Osborne versus the 128 versus the K-Pro versus any other CPM machine.
Didn't the 64 have an add-on Z80? Didn't you tell me that once?
They might have. I don't remember.
Were you drunk?
Actually, I could have been.
Was I drunk?
You might have been drunk.
I might have just made that up.
We probably,
to be honest.
We may have both been drunk. Yeah. We may have both been drunk on that. But so CPM games, and there was quite a few of them, but they just tend mainly to be text-based games, or like you saw with that Pac-Man game,
and Yahtzee
and things like that. You have to realize again, this was 82. A lot of games were like that.
Kind of
Zork all day long, though.
You'd hit, roll dice, and then it would flash all the different
numbers up. Yeah,
and then like lock in on one.
I don't know what I just loaded, but it must be fairly big.
I wonder how many slot machines.
Yeah, because that's
the runway.
Bad sector.
Back then.
Did it actually say bad sector?
Yeah. BDOS era on it. Being bad sector.
I wonder, like.
I bet many.
The background part of it.
Yeah, I bet many of them.
So that is one thing. It's kind of funny because you notice like the K-Pro is still like way faster than the Commodore 64's drive. The way that they did the
data bus.
There's no cache, right? That was the big problem with Commodore's bus.
It was a bad sector on that one. Yeah, they used
the drives. Yeah, there was no cache either, right?
That's right. No.
That's what the cartridges did. The fast little cartridges,
right?
They did.
They basically cached the serial bus.
Yeah, and it's just you use these and it's like, that's really not as slow as I remember these things. And it's like, oh yeah, it's because the Commodore 64 is
awful. What are the things? Because it wasn't doing a lot, there's not a lot of overhead either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
So.
But we were reading so much. Oh, try loading something on a Commodore 64.
Right? Oh, yeah, it's painful.
It's insane.
It's painful.
It was really bad.
Well, I gotta tell you, my Big 20 with a tape drive, it took a minute.
Yeah, just as bad. I don't know that the tape, to be honest, they had fairly decent tape loading technologies. And they would put them on the tape. So I think in many cases you were probably better off using the tape.
Well, yeah.
I think in some cases you were probably better off using it. I don't know why. I do know why. Like, we mentioned it. But the Commodore 64's disk drive was horrendously slow. Just amazing. Load times. Hey, remember they used to do, Epics used to have these commercials.
Where you start it? Go make a sandwich.
Yeah,
come
yes.
back.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely make a sandwich and come back.
Maybe cook a pizza.
You know what I mean? You had time. For the Epics fast load cartridge, they had a picture of a skeleton and it said still loading on the screen. That's, I can relate. That was terrible. I love that machine though.
Oh, yeah, again, still.
You always love your first.
Man, not necessarily.
Computer.
Sometimes it's just a
hateful. Yeah, that cutie.
If I'm talking about the Commodore, yes.
Let's see if it's a bad disc or a bad drive. Again, like I said, it took me.
Are you trying to load Yahtzee?
No, I'm trying to load. I think I want to say this is probably Hunt the Wumpus.
Did you put a disc cleaner in here?
I have cleaned the heads, but I may have to clean them again. Again, I still
you get it working and then.
Yeah, exactly. My main thing was just to get it up and running first.
So, hunt the Wumpus.
Hunt the Wumpus.
No, hell yeah.
Hunt the Wumpus.
You know, again, the nice thing about these old drives is this type of drive used a direct drive motor, so you don't have any belts in it to worry about. There is some mechanical stuff. They're fairly straightforward.
So no belt rot.
No belt rot in these.
That's great.
So it's a direct drive on that. Even the stepper motor to move the head was a direct drive stepper, so that's not a problem. So the generally drives like in these old systems are pretty stable. They get a little out of alignment. You have to realign them. You have to clean them. But as long as those motors hold out, you're okay.
Unlike your Famicom disk system.
Oh, which, God, yes.
By the way, I have a whole bunch. I bought, no good reason, by the way.
No good reason for this.
But I bought just a huge stock of the bands for the
drive.
Famicom motors. Yeah, I've got a mass of them. Because I figured I was ready for the nuclear holocaust.
That's right. So you and your Famicom will survive.
We're going to be ready. Those discs will all be cleared.
Rest assured, Gilligan would be there to pedal the generator.
That's right.
So you can play it.
Let's try this again. So, but you can see the system's not exactly sexy in some ways, but it has its own kind of sexy.
I think it's sexy as hell. This is like...
I would have sat there for hours just being like, what else can I do in here?
And that is the idea.
It could take a BB.
Yeah, probably take a 22. Mm-hmm.
This is not a Lamborghini, okay? This is a Challenger. This is a piece of muscle beef. This is muscle beef.
Muscle beef.
This is a monster.
Yeah, it's a monster. That's a word.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks, Lear.
Is now.
I appreciate it.
Actually, I want to try.
Muscle beef. Can you imagine you're on a date? Hey, you big muscle beef.
Yeah.
Me.
Let's try this one.
She's got man hands. You're dating Ann Coulter! Oh, no! All right, sorry about that. That was a rare... But,
Have you seen Ann Coulter's hands?
Look, if I can make fun of Bernie, I can make fun of Ann Coulter. I think that's fair enough.
Have you seen her hands?
They're both old ladies. So, you like that? You like that? Bow! Both sides.
All right, so here we go. Space, the final frontier. This is the voyage of the Starship Constitution. Now on its second 5-year mission.
Were they really worried about copyright?
Evidently they were. No, they weren't. It's called Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
So, again, a classic of on old
Star
systems.
Trek. Going. Star Trek in 1982 did not have its fist quite so clenched.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
They came over to see what you're doing.
On that copyright.
Go ahead and take a look.
All right. What would you like?
I would say
they got pretty mean afterwards, though.
Yeah.
There were quite a few expansions available for it. You could actually get a hard drive for this during its day.
Bar in command of the Constitution.
Could you shove it in the case?
Celtic Pecos.
They actually made a version with it in the case.
The one meg hard drive?
One. 1 meg? Are you kidding? No, I thought that my first
SFD 1001, buddy. Yes.
But that was still a floppy drive. It just stored 1 meg on a floppy drive.
Yeah, but that was amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I know it was. Those things were great. They were what? IEEE.
So
what would the hard drive be?
Baby,
what would be the hard drive?
20 meg.
20 meg.
10 or 20 meg.
10 or 20. Okay.
Actually, I think the first one that came out with this was only 3 meg.
Okay.
But then by the time I bought a hard drive, I think my first one was a 10 meg.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it was. The
I think it was.
I my God! What are you even put on this?
I paid like $700 for 10 megs.
A
database of your videos.
I remember I bought that 3.5-inch drive that came out for the Commodore 64 later on.
And you're screwed, aren't you?
And I plugged it in, put everything I had on there. I was done. Everything that would actually run off of that disc was on there, and I could put no more. I'm like, When are we ever going to need more than this disc?
Yeah, but you know what, though? For business applications, though, which this was designed for, and if you start to think about, like, databases and car parts, for example. And so you have thousands of car parts and thousands of models and years and so. Now you start to add up.
I mean, eventually, yeah.
Even though each entry is a couple kilobytes,
it's a blink in this thing's eye. It's a blink in a modern computer's eye.
But it really does add up, and you maybe need a 10 meg hard drive. You know,
it doesn't make it kind of sick that this thing, right, in 64K of RAM, probably 20 of it was used up by other systems anyway.
Oh yeah,
it's probably 48 really. You can have whole worlds in here, and nowadays, it takes you like 8 gigs to store a damn Word document. Doesn't that somewhat make you feel like you lost something?
A little bit. Yeah. Okay,
well, there's probably some efficiency.
I can't get into the damn shields.
Raise the shields. Okay, I'm gonna wrap this up a little bit. So you can stay there and keep going. So here's the thing. You know, if you want a really cool retro experience, this is a cool retro experience. I mean, this is how a lot of our gaming started out. You can probably find these. Again, we were very lucky. We found this one in beautiful condition. In fact, it might be at the Midwest Gaming Classic this year. You never know.
Run an alien.
Yeah.
Maybe Yahtzee. So it may make an appearance at Midwest Gaming Classic, depending on how things go. But a really cool system. I love my retro gaming systems, and this is just a piece of retro cool. We've got some stuff coming up.
Real quick. Do you know if there's groups that, so let's say you're a young buck and you're like, oh, you know, so like you played Minecraft and you're in your 20s and you're kind of intrigued by old school technology. Are there some groups?
Tons of groups.
Reddit.
Reddit,
Facebook groups, are so many good retro groups out there. Yeah, if you really want to get into retro computing, there are groups dedicated to retro computing in general.
There's some great people in there, too.
There's
some a-holes.
There are some very specific
groups. There's some hipsters.
If you're into one particular type of computer, but you can find out lots of information, and they generally tend to be very helpful. So if you're getting into retro computing, like retro or retro video gaming, there's always a good group you can find about that. All right, so Rob, what do we got coming up? We got some stuff coming up.
There's going to be some fire. There's going to be some ice.
Nice.
Did you like that?
That was nice, actually.
We'll be at Fire and Ice this weekend.
In Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Manitowoc, yes.
Yeah, at the Holiday Inn in Manitowoc, Wisconsin this weekend.
Manitowoc. Where?
Where real men are.
Visit Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
You could
tour a submarine.
Yeah, that's right. They have a submarine in Manitowoc. Yeah. Type B.
They have a lot of them. It's Manitowoc.
They have a very nice marine museum there.
No, it's a semicolon.
But that's not what we're going there for.
No, we're going there for Fire and Ice.
Which is a gaming convention.
Which is not a video game convention. There'll probably be a couple there.
Board game.
Surprisingly, the guys, I suspect it's the same group who ran the Artemis simulator at
Game there.
Hole. Will be.
Oh, yeah, I thought I read that too, yeah.
Yeah, but it's...
It's not, that's not what this convention's about. No, this is a board RPG. Yeah. So we'll be there this weekend. We've got some swag. Oh, we've got some new swag too.
Some very appropriate swag
that we've never given away before will be at this show. So if you're going to be at Midwest Gaming Classic, I'm sorry, oh God, thank you. We'll be there too. If you're going to be at Fire and Ice in Manitowoc, Wisconsin this weekend, stop by the Guys Games and Beer booth and maybe get some swag.
Pick up whatever the swag's left that we didn't take.
Yeah, because we may take it first.
I'm standing above the line. We're both standing above the camera.
Okay. How do you what?
Quality programming.
All
right.
All the
commands, I'm sitting below the camera.
All right, you can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Generally speaking, we stream on Tuesdays at 6:15 p.m. CST. We had a couple of problems, so on YouTube it'll be a little bit late, but obviously on Facebook we're always going. Yes, we do. They're down in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. We Yes, left-hand corner of the screen. That's our good friends at Lionheart Racing. And you can check them out by going to www.guysgamesandbeer.net, clicking on the top right-hand corner of the screen. Wait, under the new Discord logo.
Ah, yes. So, and we and we also are a sponsor to Mad With Power, and tickets have gone on sale for that.
Oh, going on sale. There's only two gold VIPs left.
Yes.
And they've gone on sale.
If you're a Patreon member, if you're a Patreon member, so our official heavy metal band, Lords of the Trident, do a Prague Progressive Metal Festival.
Oh my God!
And yeah, super awesome. And so they are starting to sell tickets for them. They filled all the band lineups now. So check out Mad With Power.
Yeah, and we will be there. There's, if you look on our on our Facebook page, there's some links to it, and there'll be more as time comes along. Oh, by the way, all you guys who watch Lionheart Racing, none of you could send us this picture. Somebody did. Ben Jefferson from Racine, Wisconsin, is going to get a copy of Little Medusa.
Go Racine! Yeah!
Hey, he was watching, and this was a great game. I can't believe people couldn't get off their lazy asses and do a screenshot. Ben got off his lazy ass.
Well, there went two more viewers.
Yeah, Ben got off his lazy ass and is getting this game. We will be getting that to you, Ben.
Yeah. There we go. All
right, I will give away some games tomorrow, Rob.
How about on Twitter?
I'm going to give my way on Twitter tomorrow.
At Guys Games Beer.
Okay.
YouTube. www.youtube.com/guysgamesbeer.
Wait, I'm
yeah, if you want to.
All right, well, I'm not, I'm giving away on YouTube. Okay, that's it, though. I'm only
but you
away.
Want to be mean to death, you can go on to our... if you want to get mean to death, you can go over to Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, which is the only place where you're watching it live right now. Yeah, and check out the Guys Games and Beer support group, where are we... Yeah, where we got... We got the memes rolling. All right, that's it. I'm putting it in.
Kill this!
I'm terminating the
I shot the dude!
I terminated it.
I just started hitting random buttons and I shot him!
Good!
Yeah!
The point click sort of matched.
It really would actually go.